Now, notice the way I said it. It's not every time you will physically have what you think you need. But everything you need will always be supplied by God. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's the way it works. Talking about the Lord Jesus walking in eternal life, that's the way it was with him. So no circumstance in life, even when Peter ran him into a corner, needing money when he had none. You get the point? Even then he said, suddenly God told him, go, there's a fish that's keeping the money that you need at this particular point in time. One little boy was playing one day and he tossed his coin into the water and this guy swallowed it waiting for you. I don't know how the coin got there. I'm just giving different ways it could have reached there. And Peter went, he fished like the Lord instructed him, and he took the coin out of his mouth. Now, that was an operation of eternal life. It was not a special anointing, all right, to demonstrate the fact that he was the Son of God. It was just that he had a personal need, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That was just what was operated in him. Are you getting the point I'm making? That's what eternal life is, though. So Jesus was now teaching his disciples how to walk into eternal life. And when he was going to pray, he prayed for them concerning this same thing, eternal life. He said that this is eternal life. I'm imparting it to the people that you have given to me. How do I impart it to them? Notice this. This is how I impart it to them. I teach them to know. Do you get my point? To recognize, to become acquainted with and to understand you as the only true God. Now, I'm trying to explain something here. That is, they should understand it is not Lagos, Abuja, or Port Harcourt, or America, Australia, or UK that's the true God. It is God in heaven that's the true God. We have defined what God means when we're talking on radio, talking about when God says, I am God and there is none else. That is everything you may require in life, the things that your soul is reaching out after. All right? Who is the source of that thing? If you say, if I don't get to America, I'm not made. God says, you have called America God and you have not recognized that I am God and there is none else. Are you getting the point? So what was Jesus doing? Teaching them that this is the true God. Say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. That is, look, this is where your God is. It's not on the other side. And he said, when you discover that, then you will begin to experience what we call what? Eternal life. In fact, there's something I wanted to title my message for today. Maybe I should just give you the title. I said, divine viewpoint. The key to experiencing eternal life. Now, when I use the word divine viewpoint, when I use that expression there, I remembered one man, R.B. Time, not a very famous teacher around, but I've read some of his materials and I've been blessed by quite a number of them. And he has something he calls divine viewpoint, actually. That expression, all right? That is what I want to bring out about that expression. Let me just explain it. Because there is something, there is the opinion. There is a way that God thinks about matter. Are you getting my point? There is a way that God will relate with situations. There is an impression that situations create in God's heart. This is the key to eternal life, to see things the way God sees them. Did you hear what I said? I said it's divine viewpoint. That's the key to experiencing eternal life. Because Jesus said it about his disciples, that is how I gave them eternal life. This is how I impart eternal life to them. He said this is eternal life, that they may know. I give them the knowledge, the instruction, the ability to perceive the true God, to become acquainted with him. Listen, that's what Christianity is. Let me say something about Christianity and prayer as an example. Now, a lot of things are taught to Christians. You know, a lot of things that Christians do, we just learn them because everybody does it. Do you follow my point? If they say pray 5 hours a day, we think it is Christian to pray 5 hours a day. You know, let me give one of those things that we do that's very funny. People say every time you go to church, you must give an offering. Do you understand my point? I've heard it preached that you can never appear in church without an offering. I don't believe it. You've heard me say it before. I don't believe it. It doesn't make sense. Do you understand? It's not necessary. No, as a matter of fact. All right? For that reason, people grew up learning to drop coins in church. If I like one thing my wife does for the kids, I know it's partly a product of things I have said before, because there's one way by which you can teach children not to give to the work of God. You know how? By giving them offering every time they go to church. You know why? Because you like to be giving them 20 naira, all your kids. But the day you carry them to Crunchies, Mr. Biggs, you spend 1,000 naira. Unconsciously, you have taught them, Mr. Biggs is worthy of 1,000 bucks. Church offering is worthy of only what? 20 naira. You don't know you are doing that too. But unfortunately, you give them change. The same thing you drop with beggars when you are passing on the way. They've seen you give to beggars. You give beggars 20 naira. You know, 10 naira, you know. And when they go to church, what do you give them also? 10 naira, 20 naira, put in an offering basket. So the other day, my wife was going to give my son money for offering. So I gave him 500 naira. And even me, man of God, I felt like, these boys, why are they giving 500 naira offering? So my wife said something. It was after she said, let's say, Pastor Banky, you are the one that preached this thing, but even you have forgotten what you preached. She said, it's not every day. They don't carry money to their children's church every day. But when they are going to carry money, there are two of them, I mean, who can walk, there's the little one who is just a player in the church, but the two boys, if you give the bigger one 500 bucks, stick into his pocket, tell your uncle, this is your offering. So when he gets there, he brings out the offering from his pocket and gives to his uncle that my mommy said, this is offering. Next Sunday, he might come back and there's nothing. Do you get the point I'm making? But the young man has learned, without you trying to do it deliberately, he has seen you give 20 naira to beggars. But each time he pulls out money from his pocket to give an offering, it's 500 bucks. So he will learn, without you teaching him face to face, that when is the work of God, is not changed. That is why you've never heard me say offering time, blessing time. No. I always say simply, and you've heard the people who announce for me also say the same thing. This work is done by free will donations from people who are so motivated. If you want to give an offering, the basket's at the corner. You have to go out of your way to get to that basket. If you want to walk by it, God bless you. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm going to bring up something. Because, you see, I'm just using that one to give an illustration of a lot of things we do as Christians. We do not have divine viewpoint about them. We don't have divine perspective concerning what we are doing. Therefore, we don't tap into eternal life concerning it. And I was going to talk about prayer as an example. I just digress on that one. So sometimes people pray because they said pray. They just say, okay, a good Christian prays 3 hours a day. So you mark the clock, 3 hours, you must make it. Or what do you say in 3 hours, really? You yourself don't know, but you just must finish the 3 hours. Now, I said something before, you don't pray because you want to get paid. You don't pray because you are desperate. Listen, you pray because you have faith. And you understand that you need to speak words to God for the things that God wants to do to come to pass on the earth. Let's take Daniel as an example. He said, there was a time that I, Daniel, he said, understood. I think that would be Daniel chapter 9. It's in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the offspring of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books, that is the books of Jeremiah, all right? The number of years which, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, must pass before the desolations which had been pronounced on Jerusalem should end. And it was 70 years. That's Daniel chapter 9, verse 2. He said, and that is, as a consequence of that, I set my face to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God who keeps covenant, mercy, and loving kindness with those who love him and keep his commandments. He now began to confess their sins and to ask for a restoration again of what Israel. This is the point. Why did he begin to do that? Because I, Daniel, understood from the books the number of years which, according to the word of the Lord that came through Jeremiah the prophet, must accomplish before the desolation of Jerusalem will end. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? That is, he prayed out of faith. It wasn't out of desperation. It wasn't out of habit. It was not out of nothing else to do. It was not out of trying to make himself pleasing to God. But he did it because he had understood. You see, let me tell you what. If we're talking about Nigeria as a nation, you're talking about your life, I'm talking about my life, we're talking about individual lives. What I'm trying to say is talking about eternal life, all right? We want to experience God's power. We don't, listen, the prayer is not supposed to be out of desire. Do you hear what I said? Your prayer is not primarily out of desire. It's supposed to be motivated by discoveries. Let me explain. That is, once you finish hearing the gospel, it should drive you to prayer. Now, get what I'm saying? It is not as if you desire good things, so you pray. Now, that's how we've been taught, actually. And it's not absolutely wrong. It's just that it's elementary. But you pray because you have discovered what God wants to do. Because what releases great power through your prayer is when you are in agreement with what God wants to do. If you've been listening to me on radio, I've been talking about creating the opportunities for prosperity. And one of the things I've been emphasizing, all right, this is how eternal life works. This is how eternal life works. When eternal life is inside you, it controls the things that are around you. Did you hear what I said? Listen, it controls how viruses react with your body. It controls the kind of cars you enter, whether they will have accidents or they won't. It delivers you from death. You say, okay, those who entered that car, they were just unlucky and they died in it. No, it's not a matter of luck. Do you get my point? I remember reading a story, and many of us have had personal experiences, but I remember a particular story of which one woman wanted to enter a boat, and then the boat was full. And then one woman came afterwards, desperate to cross that river. I think it was a ferry. And this lady, a Christian woman who wrote the book was about her, she got up and offered that woman her seat. And that boat sank, and everybody drowned. The boat was supposed to go when one person came desperate to cross. And being a good-natured person, she offered the other fellow her seat, and she came off the boat. The air crash, Sosoliso, that crashed in Port Harcourt that killed a lot of people that time. I think only one person survived. Only one young woman survived, yes. One man, they were interviewing him on TV. What happened? They had boarded a flight about to take off. Then government officials from Port Harcourt arrived. And Nigerian method now, I am more important than the rest of you. Where I'm going is important. Where you are going is not important. So they used the government power, offloaded the plane, moved the government officials in first, and started filling the rest of the passengers into the seats that were still vacant. And of course, for every government official that went in, there was one guy who did not go in. And this young man telling the story was one of those men who couldn't go in because a set of government officials were in a hurry to get back to Port Harcourt. This, you know, there are no accidents in life. Do you get the point I'm making? One of my friends was in Abuja that same period. His men were supposed to go back to Port Harcourt. So they said, okay, they will go next morning with that particular flight that crashed. Said that day, as they finished, something in him said, no, these boys, all of you get back to work. He instructed all of them to go straight to the airport, take the next flight, and get down home. Therefore, all his men were spared joining that flight. There was one another person forwarded to my email about this Mississippi bridge that collapsed sometime last year. Killed a number of people. There was a particular young man, he was driving. Now, this is what I don't understand about Christians. He said, learn to be sensitive to the voice of God. Me, I don't believe all those things. Listen, it's not sensitive to the voice of God as the issue. When God wants to talk to you, if you don't hear by words, he will speak by flog. One way or the other, you must hear by force, yeah? It's true. That was the summary of the message, but me, I didn't take it like that. Me, I saw the power of divine life. I saw the power of God's protection working in somebody's life. The young man was driving, was about to climb the bridge, when suddenly he said he heard a voice or something, whether he felt or heard a voice, but suddenly he froze. He stopped right in the center of the road. This is not Nigeria. You know, Nigeria, you can stop anywhere, go and check whether your tire is leaking, then get back into the car. You don't do that in America, for goodness sake. Even if they won't catch you, you won't think about doing it. He just stopped in the center of the road and was like, what is going on? Why am I stopping? Did I hear a voice telling me to stop? But while he was contemplating, the bridge collapsed right in front of him. He was there contemplating and he watched the bridge collapse. So all the muguns behind him who had been honing, pam, 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 now they shut up, sharp, sharp. Baba, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, for being foolish enough to stop suddenly. May you stop more times, amen? In Jesus' name, you continue to stop. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That's the way it works. So the power of life inside you works automatically. It doesn't need winding. It's not winding. Right now, let us make life appear. Oh boy, if it is not there, it is not there. Please, I hope you are getting my point. So I've learned to explain something that is so, but you see, a lot of things we do as Christians, all right? We just turn them into, you know, this is how Christians are supposed to behave. We don't do them out of the knowledge of God. That's what I'm trying to explain. But what Jesus was doing to his disciples was to teach them to recognize God. And that when you do that, when you have come to know God, you know, I said something earlier, that merely sitting down, it's not the words I'm speaking in. It's not. No matter how wrong my English is, no matter how disjointed my expressions are, once you are paying attention, there is something that is being wired into you through me from God. That's just the way it works. That's the way it works. That's just the way it works. Anytime you settle down, maybe you take this message or any other message, any other preacher's message, put it on a tape. There is something that God has commissioned him to deliver into your life. As long as you pay attention, what the Bible says you get is what? Understanding. It said, Solomon was describing what his father said to him. He said, give attention that you may gain understanding. It's a spiritual impartation. So what brings eternal life into your life so that you can experience it is the knowledge, the understanding of God that you have gotten. That is, I said, is the divine perspective with which you see life. There's a way God sees things. Do you know that? Jesus said that one day you are going to see calamity all over the world. He said, at such time, the heart of men will fail them when they behold the things that are about to happen on this earth to all men. He said, but as for you, straighten up, lift up your heads, and rejoice because your redemption draws near. Listen, what is inside your heart affects what comes towards you. There is calamity, there is redemption. Do you get my point? In the midst of calamity, if you look around, there is what? Redemption. I was talking with my friend Larry the other day. We're just talking about how people respond to situations in life. That thing just came back to my mind. Let me use it to drum this one into your heart. You know, when they have programs, you know, where there are a lot of people, one danger that you have to watch out for is what is called stampede. You know what stampede? Yes, people actually die from stampede. People are rushing, they want to pass through this door. Remember that adoration ground crisis that happened in Enugu that time? And people were saying there's poisonous gas, poisonous powder, poisonous everything. Listen, it was stampede. Do you follow what I'm saying? People were just stampeded. It caused panic where there are a lot of people who are inexperienced, many people die. All right? Now, that's why if you go to countries where things work very well, you gather a crowd. If I even hear where we're not too plenty, you know, regularly, one day a fire official will come around. He'll just show up. He doesn't have to tell you ahead of time. He just wants to check the number of doors you have to evacuate the number of people here in a certain amount of time. That's how they do it. And if you don't have a proper amount, he will give you a warning. Next time, he closes the place down. And look, don't say he's persecuting you. It's not persecution. All he's saying is that, oh boy, create another door. This one is not enough. How many staircases from this here? So he will insist that door must be open. That in an emergency, people must have a number of places to go out. That's just the way they do. Now, let me get to my main story. Talking about the fact that in the center of calamity, there is redemption. Many years ago, I think it was University of Ife, there was this Miss Kala or something they used to do that time. You know, people would gather from everywhere to come and watch small girls walk up and down the stage half naked. And so they can tell their friends I was there. It was Miss this or Miss that. So cult boys, it's not now that cult boys are now real arm robbers. Those days, they were just troublemakers. I think somebody either shot a real gun or exploded a banger, you know, knockout like we call it, inside the hall. But there was pandemonium. At the end of the day, I think about 8 people died in that particular one. People do that in stampedes. I think it was that particular one or another one like it that he was inside the hall, that particular incident. He was with his brother. Then he was not as big as he is right now. And he's not a very big person anyway. And usually smaller people are in more danger in stampede. So he said that the moment the explosion went off and people began to rush, his brother also wanted to start running. So he just grabbed his brother and said, come back! Sat down. And they watched everybody rushing. And that rush killed 8 people. He just sat down calmly and looked around and saw one widow, took a chair, broke the window and walked out gently. Just strolled out like nothing was happening. As soon as he finished strolling out, he looked behind. All the windows shattered and people began to jump out. At the end of the day, 8 people died. Are you getting the point? There was pandemonium, but the man who was cool, he just waited for the eruption to continue. He just looked around and he saw the redemption. That's why Jesus said, when you see all this calamity, he said, straighten your back, lift your necks, lift up your heads. Behold, your redemption draws near. You know the calamity, you know the economic problems in the country and this and this and that. Listen, a child of God with a cool head will open his eyes and say, my God, see opportunities. Are you getting my point? Suddenly we look, see opportunities. As everybody's running up and down, he said, my God, I never knew it was like this. Jesus said, take advantage of it. That is your redemption. You know, before this calamity came, you were poor. In the center of calamity, let me make you rich. Or before that time, you were average. Let me take you out of the realm of being average to the realm of being outstanding. Do you follow what I'm saying? I'm going to say that is understanding of God. You see, that's actually the job of believers. I said something earlier that what is inside you will eventually come out around you. So the main quest of the believer is to get to know God. He said, this is eternal life, that they will know you as the only and true God, and that they will recognize Jesus as the Christ whom the Lord has sent. Do you get the point I'm making? What is the Christ? This is the Savior, the salvation they need out of their problems. A lot of people think that people around, or one extra degree. One young woman came to me once. He said she needed a job. I said, so why couldn't you get a job? He told me all her problems. And I told her, look, you have a slight disadvantage talking on the natural plane, because she studied a particular degree, which I said that it may be hard for somebody to employ you because of the degree, but you can be employed for the fact that you are a graduate. Do you understand? Can I say maybe what she would do is go back to school to go and get another degree? I said, for what? She said, so she can get a job. Hi. And I look, say, it's a job you are looking for. You want to go back to go and get another degree. Behold, your suffering continues. That's just the way I saw it. I called her simply. I said, what can you do? That's where you should start from. Remember what I've been saying on radio? That a job is not where I go 8 in the morning and come back 5 p.m. and I get paid at the end of the month. A job is that one in which I have the opportunity to bless somebody's life. And when I do that, you know, somebody returns something back to me. A job is that in which I'm blessing people so much that the morning I don't wake up, the phone and say, what is going on? That's what the job is. Oh. It's not the kind of suit I wear to the place, the color of the tie, or whether they insist on traditional starched brocade. That's not what defines a job. Please, I hope you're getting my point. I want to say, talking about that they might recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior. Now, there's something about that, because a lot of people, I use that lady as an example, because she was looking at another degree as the Savior. Listen, we said eternal life. This is how you will experience eternal life. When they say, if you wear this kind of suit, you wear this kind of tie, you dress like you talk like you stand like this, and then you have powerful effect when you are talking. I said, a naked Adam before the fall, walking into any interview, nobody would notice his nakedness. Nobody ever told us how Pharaoh responded to the appearance of Joseph. The only person that noticed that Joseph was a very handsome man was an adulteress. You know that. I hope you notice. You read your Bible. The only person that made us know that Joseph was handsome is a woman who wanted to sleep with him. The people that followed Joseph into destiny, what did they say? Pharaoh looked at him and said, can we find one as wise and as discreet as thou art? Seeing that in you dwells the spirit of the gods. He didn't say dwells the appearance of Apollon. Do you know my point? It's the spirit that is inside him. All this one of where this kind of tie is because your mouth has no wisdom to utter. It's a matter of fact. There's no bank manager who wants to interview and employ somebody who, if you speak the kind of wisdom he hasn't heard before, will say, I don't like your shirt. He will give you a shirt if necessary. He will tell you, oh boy, you can't dress like this when you're coming to my work. What's the problem? You don't have clothes. Okay, I have some. You and I look like we're the same size. Come to my house. I'll give you two or three that I'm not using anymore. Because can we find one as discreet, as wise and as discreet as thou art? Look, after all these principles we teach, a lot of them are principles of people who have been cursed by God. So they have to labor against the earth that's not yielding for them. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. Look, that's eternal life. We reach out for that which is real. The real knowledge of God comes into you. You know what it does? Look, I said something earlier that Jesus was never, ever, at any time, overtaken by circumstances. I don't mean, I'm happy for the story I used to illustrate it. I'm not saying he always had money. There was a time he didn't have. Demand was made. And then God met the need. That's the power of eternal life. And he told his disciples, this is how you will experience that. That you get to know God, that you get to understand Him, and understand that Jesus is indeed the Savior of the world. Let me tell you what. I said earlier, a naked Adam cannot be disqualified because of the kind of clothes he did not wear. You couldn't do that. Not because you like naked men, but because the glory and the wisdom that he will be exuding, you won't be able to resist it. He said, behold, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or gainsay. I was telling a story where I went to teach this morning at Larry's Financial Empowerment and Wealth Creation Seminar. I asked how many people had watched The Pursuit of Happiness. When God wanted to bless that man for the reason that he did, the day he came for the interview, happened to be the night before they arrested him, police arrested him. Go and watch the movie if you haven't, Will Smith's movie, The Pursuit of Happiness. Police arrested him for not, you know, he didn't have money, so he used to park wrongly and he won't pay the parking ticket. So when you accumulate enough like that, in those countries, police will come and grab you. So police came, grabbed him. He slept in the cell. Oh, interesting enough, he was painting his house. Maybe a new place he just managed to move into. When they grabbed him, it was time to be grabbed. They didn't ask him, well, go and wash up. They just grabbed him, you know, just as I am, without one plea. He just took him like that and took him to cell. He just managed to get released in time for the interview next day, so he didn't bother going home. He went straight from the cell to the office in Broad Street, Marina, Lagos, whatever it is, you know what I mean? That kind of area. Looking like a real tramp. Everybody looking at me, one corner, like, what's the guy doing here? Is he painting this building? When they interviewed him, the boss looked and said, after plenty talk, he was going to employ this guy, at least for the training, before they now choose who they wanted to choose. He was going to take the guy. He said, but please, you sir, look at it. What will you say? That I employed a man who came to my office without wearing a shirt. The t-shirt he had was stained with paint. Look at his hair. The man has not had a bath. He had paint stained. What will you say that I employed? What will you say if you were the one? He made a joke of it. He said, maybe the guy was wearing an excellent pair of trousers. Do you get the point? In fact, he now turned to one man there who always knew him and said, did you always dress like this? The man said, really, even me, I'm surprised. I don't know why he's dressed like this today. Normally, he dresses neatly. Anyway, cut the long story short, they admitted him into the program. And when they were going to choose one person out of the multitude they chose, he turned out to be the only person. He came out on top, beat every other person, white included. All of them were younger than him. They had less responsibilities than he had. But because God put a piece of glory upon him, and he overcame all the adversities that were going to put him down. Do you get the point I'm making? I hope what I'm saying, you're following it. So it's not about what is outward. Jesus said, this is eternal life. Let me summarize with that. Because for him, what is important is that you and I get to know God. And when we're talking about getting to know God, it's not just to say that I have seen him before. Nobody has ever seen him. I've explained to you before that God is only described, all right? Not by physical characteristics, no, but by the qualities he has expressed in the lives of the people that he has worked with. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what Jesus used to do. Teach people about the God of Abraham. Teach people how God spoke to Moses and how what God is saying now. I'm going to bring out something here. That God can only be described by how he had expressed himself both in words and in actions through the lives of people before you. Listen, as believers, let me tell you. For every minute you spend reading a newspaper, I happen to know that they are conjured of most of them to remove your faith. Satan is alive and is well and working actively against your faith. For every minute you spend reading your newspaper, read something that builds your faith. Music is good, though. You can dance to music. If you like, listen to Two Face. I have a Two Face CD self. But for every 1 minute you spend listening to anything, make sure you have 5 minutes you spend listening to the Word of God. You know why? Because it's pushing into you divine perspective. It's helping you to see how God sees life. No, please, get what I'm saying. It's not teaching you methods. Because I said, once you gaze upon it, what happens? Let's quickly read that. I close with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It said, from verse 17, but the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, that's where I'm going, 18, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is, the transformation is automatic, is energized by the Spirit of God. All we do is behold that glory as in a mirror. And as long as we are beholding, we are being transformed. We don't try. Let me explain what I'm saying. If you focus on the testimony as an example of one who God delivered in the midst of his adversities and his trials, you focus on it and you give God, and that's the power of thanksgiving. That is, you recognize that God, you were the one that did this. You were the one that did this. I recognize that you walked in this man's life and you brought this to pass. I thank you and I glorify you. You are getting the point I'm making. You've heard stories, this woman was barren for 7 years or 10 years, and then, not just Sarah now, I'm talking about modern day stories. And you say, oh, God, you did this in the presence. Now, listen, Father, I thank you. You're so kind to that person. You are kind. I thank you in the name of Jesus. You are the God that makes barren women dwell in the house as joyful mothers of children. I thank you. I recognize you as the God that did that. And that's all. You see, nothing. You don't say more than that. But what's happening is that instantly, Do you get my point? That spirit is transforming you to a fertile woman and a fertile man. You're not struggling, no? You're not even thinking about it. Do you get my point? But if all you buy is latest medical digest, checking all the story, the next time the doctor talks, you'll believe him. You will believe him. You will believe him. You will believe him. If you consider God's testimonies, listen, you are transformed into one that has the power of life coming out from inside him. That is why when you read books of those that God has blessed, read it again and again. They will tell me that they read books only once. I say, what are you going to get from a book you read only once? Me, I only buy books that I've read before. Well, not only. Either I've read a book before. There are three reasons I buy books. Either I've read a book before, or I know the author very well, or the book is so cheap, I don't mind losing my money. You can't get me to buy books for any other reason. But most important reasons, I've read the book before. One of the things that helped me in life was many books, which, good enough, a lot of people outside throwing away. So they were finding their ways into Nigeria as used books. I saw a number of them in faith bookshops on Agbani Road, and I bought quite a number. Books like God Smuggler, Brother Andrew. Read that story before? If you haven't, go and read it. I Dare to Call Him Father by Bilkis Sheikh. If you haven't read that story before, go and read it. Books like The Gentle Breeze of Jesus by Mel Tari. You know, all those books here and there. There's one I saw again in my house. I have it, so I was looking for another thing and I saw the book, so I pulled it out again. That's how I read. Just go through a few pages. That one, From Witchcraft to Christ by one woman, Doreen something, forgetting her full name now. You know, little books like that telling the testimonies of what God has done in the lives of people. Are you getting the point? Now, what happens is that through those things, I am seeing, I'm getting to become personally acquainted with God. And this is eternal life, that they will know you. You get the point? Eternal life is not something we struggle to produce. Listen, Jesus didn't have time to go and pray. He said, Peter, wait. He said, there's a storm. Let me meditate. Let me see what God has to say about this storm. You must understand that for him, it was natural to see the storm, face it, put up a hand and say, shh. And then continued talking with the disciples. Do you get what I'm saying? That is, what happened was that he had developed so strongly the divine perspective to things. Listen, let me tell you something about life. It's the understanding you have that gives you control of issues. You know that? It's the understanding you have that gives you control. It's understanding. Even a natural plane. One day my wife, you know, there was something that she helped somebody market, an electronic equipment, and the thing didn't work properly and was a bit expensive. It cost about 25,000 naira. And if I use that one that day to discuss some things about business attributes with my wife. So when the lady who bought it now told her, she wasn't the one that was selling it, was helping somebody else market it. And so they were now discussing what would happen if it was not really working. Anyway, that's not the main part of the gist. So she saw the lady and said, let me have it. He said, I'll show it to my husband. And the lady said, I thought you said he's a doctor. She looked at her and said, you can't imagine. I happen to love electrical things and electronic stuff like that. Now, this is an interesting thing. When she told me about it, I'd never seen the gadget before. It was those ones that were my first time of seeing them. They were kiddies' computers for children, all right? So I looked. When I saw what the problem was, I just said, this is an electronic equipment. It must have a reset button. There's no electronic equipment they make without a place where you reset it. So I took it and I began to look for a point where you can reset this thing. First, I found a place where they had batteries that were weak. I removed the put new batteries. It didn't work. They didn't know there were batteries there before, but I found that one out. Then along the line, finally, after searching, I saw a little hole somewhere. I took a pin, stuck it in, depressed it, and released it. Powered it on, it started working normally. Of course, I'm like, how did this doctor do it? Did they give injection to to plastic and silicon chips? No. It's simple. I had an understanding that there is no electronic gadget that is made that you can't reset. Because it'll go crazy. That's how it is. If this computer starts misbehaving, there's a way you reset it. Put it off, yank out the battery, unplug all the power sources, leave it for a few seconds, it's reset. That is it. If you put it back on, it's still misbehaving, then it's the operating system. You go, you format it. If it's misbehaving, then it has a hardware fault. You can't go further than that. You are getting the point I'm going to make. Just knowing some basic things. Now, that's on the modern, on the everyday level. But spiritual things are also like that. When I was teaching that place I went this morning, I told them that, analyzing that story about the pursuit of happiness, I said, people can interpret that story in different ways. Some interpret it to mean that if you are dogged and you are determined, you will succeed. Listen, no, in life, there are those who doggedly and determinedly fail properly. They jam a wall and they die in the process, believe me. I said, I looked at that man's story. Because of understanding, because of my knowledge of God, that it is not of him that runs, it's not of him that wills, it is of God that shows mercy. I understood that. I've been acquainted with that fact. I said, it can't be because this man is determined. I said, let's find out why God showed him mercy. Like I told, I wrote in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said, I found two places only in the Gospels where Jesus described people's faiths as big. Two of them did not pray for themselves. The first one, the centurion, prayed for his servant, who most likely was a Jew and was at home. He loved the boy so much, he said, this boy can't die. So he went to beg Jesus. He said, I know you don't have to come to my house. After all, I don't have as much power as I've heard about you. But I give instructions without going there, and they are carried out. I say to one from a distance, you go, and he goes. Jesus said, I have not found faith as great as this. No, not in Israel. That's one. The second one was a woman who said, my daughter is gravely afflicted. Please come and heal her. And Jesus called the woman a dog. They call me any name you like. You will still heal my daughter. But the bread belongs to the children. So what about the crumbs that fall from the table? Jesus said, daughter, great is thy faith. I have come to understand that those are the things that give people tremendous results in life. Say, faith works by love. That Ruth did not make it because she loved the God of Naomi, but because she loved the Naomi of that God. She didn't know that God. She didn't care about him. The God of Israel was not her problem. But she looked at Naomi, having lost her husband and her two sons. She was going to be alone. He said, no, let me suffer that this woman will not suffer. God said, are you serious about that? I will give you a name that will never be eradicated. I knew all of this. I've been acquainted with this God. So when I watched The Pursuit of Happiness, I said, look at it very well. What gave this man the victory was that he suffered as a boy because his father was never there. And he had a boy. And he said, this boy must never suffer. He did all he did because of that boy. And God looked and said, I will show you mercy. Are you getting my point? Listen, that's how eternal life comes. You recognize certain issues. And the recognition of that fact, that God is God, that he's the ruler in the realms of mankind, that one alone, it turns your life into one that can receive first and release the power of eternal life. That's the way it works. What have I said today? You must get to know God. You must become acquainted with him. I hope you've learned something. Let's give the Lord thanks, therefore.